Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Herod was the one who had St. John the Baptist arrested and put in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, and he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day, when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He swore many things to her, even saying, "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "For what shall I ask?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back into the king's presence and made a request. "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about this, they came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The opening prayer of today's Mass had us turn to God the Father, honor him for choosing John the Baptist to be the precursor of his son, both in birth and in death. And then asked through his intercession that we, like John, might confess the true faith. That confession is not just a thing of lips, it's also body language. And John the Baptist was constantly confessing the Lord in two ways. First, he was a precursor for everything. He was the forerunner of his birth. He was the forerunner of his preaching. He was the forerunner of his baptizing. He was the forerunner of his passion. He was the forerunner of his death. But then second, John the Baptist was always a sign of conversion. And before his birth, Zechariah pondered and proclaimed at his circumcision how he would turn the hearts of fathers toward their children and children toward their fathers, in fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi. The Jordan, he was constantly proclaiming that we needed to make straight the paths for the Lord to come. He was making straight the paths even for his own disciples, sending them to Jesus first, pointing them out as the Lamb of God. And then later, when they were dissatisfied, thinking that Jesus would come and light the whole place on fire according to their imagination, sent them to him asking, "Are you the one to come? Or should we wait for another?" Constantly sending them to him. And even here, he was pointing out the fidelity we always need to have for the bridegroom. That marriage matters, and that what was happening with Herodias and Herod was not a marriage. It was totally contrary to God's law and would not bring fulfillment. St. Paul, in the first letter to Thessalonians that we had this morning, talks specifically about what his hope was for the Thessalonians. that they might be blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. John the Baptist's whole mission was to help people become blameless in holiness before the coming of the Lord. First, his coming through his incarnation and through his birth, his coming at the Jordan, is coming for us to meet us at the end of our life. And he wants us to be blameless in holiness. We see the exact opposite of that blamelessness in holiness in today's reading. While I was on my retreat, 12 days gives you a chance to really get out of New York. First 6 days of the retreat, I read 21 books. You can see how the hunger is at a time when I don't have the chance to read, but a lot of great spiritual titles. The first one I read was by my friend Michael Pakulik, which was The Memoirs of Peter. Michael is a philosopher lately. He's been the dean of Catholic University Business School to try to help people to see what the economos really is, how you have order in your house. But he decided to write a translation of the Gospel of St. Mark as a student of Aristotle, his Greek is very good, and a commentary, a fruit of his own prayer since his conversion at Harvard 40 years ago. It's an incredible book. And in his commentary on St. Mark, one of the things that he noticed was that it's almost the catalog in what happened in the beheading of St. John the Baptist of the capital sins. We see almost all of them right there. The exact opposite of holiness. We first see lust in the way that Herodias pimped her own little girl. That's the expression St. Mark uses at the very end when the head was brought in and given to the little girl. We see pride. Herod not wanting to break his word even when he was being asked to murder an innocent man on the spot at his birthday party. We likewise see it when he wouldn't break his oath, the stupid oath that he had made. We see anger. Herodias is terrible, fuming anger at John the Baptist for proclaiming what was obvious. It was not lawful for her to marry her brother-in-law, not to mention incestuously to marry her uncle, because both Philip in Rome and Herod were her uncle. We similarly see envy. Herodias was so envious that she couldn't be regarded like every other woman, that she couldn't be treated as the de facto queen, that her husband wouldn't be given the title king because of what he had done by Caesar. Envy led her to this. We also see, in a sense, avarice and gluttony, that she just wanted whatever she wanted. The gluttony was likewise seen in this feast as everybody was getting drunk. We see the capital sins totally on display. At the same time, John the Baptist was meekly protesting in a prison cell. As all hell was breaking loose upstairs, he was there, not fuming, not angry. John was there praying. That would be the end for him here on earth. But his conversion, his death would lead to the conversion over the course of time. We see just how cheap life had become. The whim of a little girl, this great man, would just be slaughtered. His disciples came and took the body. And then word was immediately brought to Jesus. It was the final act of St. John's pointing out Jesus. And it led others precisely to Jesus, because at this point they didn't know whom else to turn. And this is the feast day of his glorious triumph at the end of life, the church wants us to ponder how we confess our faith. The first and most important way is through seeking with God's help to live a life that was blameless in holiness, as John the Baptist's was. We also recognize that some of the times it will come through a humble confession, as John's was, in a prison cell, eventually beheaded. We don't know how ours will be most effective, but God does, and he wants us to will it. John the Baptist continues to point out Jesus, the Lamb of God. As he does so at this Mass, let us ask him for the grace that here and throughout this day we might confess by our own participation in the Lord's passion through our own that he is real and that he is with us, the bridegroom who comes to fulfill the hopes that John stoked.